cross for the Lord Jesus, the suffering Savior. And let's read about him from Matthew 27, beginning at verse 45 to 66. Matthew 27, verse 45 to the end of the chapter. And our text this time will be especially the focus of verse 51 to 66. And the theme of the sermon is Gospel Surprises. Gospel Surprises. Listen to the Word of God. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard, go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. So far the scriptures. Let's first now call upon the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing as we worship together this day. Preaching, let's sing in response to Psalter 292, stanza 1, 2, 4, and 5. The title of that song is Redeeming Love, based on Psalm 107. It may be surprising to you, dear congregation belonging to Christ, but did you know there are lots of gospel surprises in the text passage that we have before us, this service, this Good Friday service? Do you like surprises? Pleasant and happy surprises? Who doesn't? And think of this now. What can compare to the pleasant and wonderful gospel surprises as made known to us in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior? Will you notice with me from our text passage lots of gospel surprises with Jesus' death, with Jesus' burial, and with Jesus' ministry? Gospel surprises are the best of all. And this morning, the Lord wants to show us and have His people so rejoice in them. Our text brings us before Jesus on the cross of Calvary, how He suffered thereon. But then,
When someone is dying, they become weaker and weaker. And it shows itself often in them, in a person hardly being able to talk anymore. If you have been at a deathbed before, you will have noticed this. Some of you have recently been at a deathbed, where when someone is dying, if they are still conscious and still able to talk, you often have to bring your ear real close to try to catch what they're saying. Because they're whispering and hardly being able to get it out. But what does the text tell us when Jesus died? Matthew 27:50 states, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and He yielded up His spirit." Just before He breathed His last, Jesus spoke loud and clear, "It is finished." And with a loud voice, we read in Luke, He cried out, "Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit." This is a surprise, telling us that Jesus did not get overtaken by death, but He gave Himself over to death, consciously, voluntarily, as Savior of sinners. Jesus wasn't a victim of death. He gave Himself over to it, for He would pay the full wages of sin. And since death is the wages of sin, He would bear it as Savior of sinners, that He might offer to us the gift of eternal life. Whoever believes on Him and repents of sin before Him. Surprise number one then, from our text in Matthew. Jesus died speaking with a loud voice with His last breath. Surprise two is, what happens the second Jesus breathes His last? Then, we're told, "Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." With this surprise, God in heaven was declaring, with Jesus' death in the place of sinners, there is now open access to the holy and righteous God for all who turn from sin and repent, trusting Him as Savior and Lord. That special thick curtain in the temple between the holy place and the holy of holies, it symbolized the barrier between the sinner and God and coming into His presence. And in the Old Testament, you know, the high priest only came into the Holy of Holies once a year. And he only came for a short time and with the blood of the sacrifice with him. Well, now, with Jesus once for all sacrifice and His shed blood, no more sacrifices needed ever to be made. And now there is free and open and enduring access to God the Father for all who come in the name of the Lord Jesus, looking to Him as your only Savior and Lord. The ripped open curtain or veil in the temple with Jesus' death, what a special gospel surprise from God in heaven in honor to Jesus as Savior of sinners. Don't you too think it a most delightful, inviting gospel surprise indeed? Then there's surprise number three. This surprise came probably at the same time as the rent veil. And that is the earth shaking and the rocks splitting when Jesus breathed His last. This surprise too was worked by God the Father. And it tells us that God saw Jesus' death on sinners' behalf having such earth shaking consequences. It shows us, as one put it, that the death of the Savior had and still is having significance for the entire universe. In fact, there's going to be a day when there's going to be a whole new heaven and a new earth and a resurrection most splendid and sure, a recreation. And that is something that's guaranteed in view of Jesus' death in the place of sinners. And if you doubt this surprise, well then, go to the next surprise. Surprise number four. The moment Jesus died, what else happened? We are told about the gospel surprise that the graves opened by God's hand. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and they came out of the graves. And after Jesus' resurrection, they appeared to many in the city of Jerusalem. And this, of course, you will agree, was an astounding surprise. But think again what it is telling us. Through Jesus' death in the place of sinners, sinners like us may find life. There's victory over sin, Satan, death, and hell. And there's fullness of life, eternal life, through Jesus Christ the Lord. Our text brings that out with that surprise. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, He Himself had said before in John 11. And it comes out so clearly in such a surprising way, even as Jesus breathed His last on the cross. What wonderful gospel surprises with His death, our text declares. Don't you think so too? Does it thrill your heart as well? These gospel surprises. And encourage you too to lean on Him and to trust Him as Savior and Lord and truly to love Him above all. There's surprise number 5 that our text tells us about, which so brings out, you can be sure Christ Jesus is no fraud, but He is one ever reliable and true. And I'm thinking here of the testimony of the Roman centurion in charge of the whole crucifixion of Christ. Who would have thought that man would end up confessing trust in Christ? That centurion and the other soldiers, we are told, they testified, some of them at least, when all that they saw and experienced with Jesus on the cross, truly this was the Son of God. Verse 54 in our text passage. And the point is, they were so impressed with Jesus. And Luke suggests, from his account, that the Roman centurion actually became a saved man. He glorified God, he says. His testimony so declares, doesn't it? The gospel message is for all people. Whoever repents of sin and believes on Christ as the heaven-sent Savior, they shall be saved now and forevermore. The centurion's testimony is just another reassuring gospel surprise with Jesus' death, as told in our divinely inspired text. There are 2 more gospel surprises with Jesus' death, number 6 and 7, that Matthew doesn't tell us, but you find it in the Gospel of John. When Jesus died, we are told, because the Jews would have the crucifixion over with and the bodies put away before the Sabbath would begin, before the nighttime came, before 6 p.m., in other words, they wanted the whole process speeded up. And the Romans would do that out of respect for the Jews. But here is a surprise, number 6. To speed up the process of death, the soldiers came with a big hammer, and they smashed the leg bones of those crucified so that they would suffocate. So they couldn't lean on their leg bones anymore, and they would just suffocate. But we're told they didn't do that with Jesus, because He had already died. He already had breathed His last. Pilate marveled, we read in Mark, that Jesus was already dead. He was surprised. But Jesus had died already. And so, a wonderful prophecy gets fulfilled about Jesus as the great Passover Lamb. We read about the Passover Lamb in Exodus 12 verse 46, nor shall you break one of its bones. Well, it's so surprising that the other 2 men had their bones splintered and broken, smashed. But not one of Jesus' bones is broken. At the same time, what did not happen to the other 2 crucified happened to Jesus. Surprise number 7, you could say. And that is, he was pierced in his side with a spear by one of the soldiers, as John 19 tells us. And this too is so special, for it shows so clearly Jesus is the God-promised Messiah of the Old Testament. John writes in John 19, verse 36 and 7, for these things were done that the Scriptures should be fulfilled. Not one of His bones shall be broken. And again, another Scripture says, they shall look on Him whom they pierced. Do you agree with me, congregation? What beautiful, abundant gospel surprises God gives with Jesus' death on the cross. And I even skipped some. Maybe you can think of some more later on for yourself. What sinfulness and wickedness we have to say unbelief is. Not to believe, not to trust in this Jesus and to follow Him. On the other hand, what blessing, what delight, what grace and glory to trust and depend wholly on Him as your one-time, all-time Savior and Lord. Do you see too how our scripture so would guide and encourage us in the way of true faith and repentance and devotion before God and Christ whom He sent? That you may be led with all your heart, each and all here, to trust Christ and to truly love Him. Let us now move on to the surprises, the gospel surprises with Jesus' burial. What surprises, full of good news, come out in His burial also? Can you find some? You know what normally happened to the bodies of those who were crucified? They would get thrown in a mass grave and they often wouldn't even get buried. They would be left for scavenger animals and birds to pick at. Or they would be thrown on a burning garbage dump, such as the one that continually burned just outside of Jerusalem's city on the south side, in the Hinnom Valley. The fact is, the Romans had absolutely no respect for the corpses of the crucified. But hear and see now the surprises with Jesus' burial. Surprise one is that someone from the Sanhedrin, a follower of Jesus by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, he comes forward to ask for the body of Jesus, that he may give his body a proper burial. Who would have thought that there was this disciple, this devoted follower of Jesus among the high ranks of the Jewish leaders, those who condemned the Savior? Luke tells us in Luke 23, verse 50 to 51, that this Joseph was a council member, but a good and just man who had not consented to the Sanhedrin's decision to condemn Jesus. And he was one who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. We're told in one of the Gospels he was a secret disciple. But when Jesus died, he got boldness and he asked for the body of Jesus. Amazing. I'm sure that those who watched would have thought, where did this man come from? Look who's coming to ask for the body of Jesus. God has His people everywhere, and we will be surprised in the day of days whom He has gathered from across the globe, who trust Him and who follow Him. What else is surprising is that this man is also a rich man, so he could give Jesus the best of funerals, a royal, kingly funeral. And that would mean also another prophecy fulfilled. Isaiah 53:9 foretold about the Savior that while His grave would be with the wicked, He would die with criminals. Yet, Jesus would be with the rich at His death. That's what you read in Isaiah 53:9. And we see it here literally fulfilled. The Word of God proves accurate every time, powerfully so. A third surprise yet with Jesus' death or Jesus' burial is not that just as Joseph came, and that he was rich, but that Pilate grants him permission to take the body of Jesus and to arrange his burial. A fourth surprise is what, again, we don't find in Matthew, but John tells us how Nicodemus also comes on the scene. Another rich, leading Jewish council member, also a former secret follower of Jesus of sorts. He too now comes out boldly to help in the burial arrangements and to pay his last respects as best as possible. Nicodemus and Joseph becoming open and bold disciples with Jesus' death. And the Scriptures' testimony of this and the Scriptures' honor expressed towards them, that's such an encouragement for us, isn't it? When you and I sometimes too fail to be open disciples of Jesus, then it's not hopeless, but go to Him, confess it to Him, and ask for new grace, new power, and He will help you. He will revive you. He will equip you. He will enable you to serve Him, after all, in a good way, in a Christ-honoring way. Those who trust Him will never be put to shame. Christ, with Him, there's saving, sanctifying, upbuilding power for those who trust Him. A fourth surprise yet with Jesus' burial is the new tomb, so ready at hand, that Joseph had, and that it was in part of a garden plot that he owned. And that Jesus was buried with His body wrapped in clean linen cloth, sprinkled with expensive spices, about 75 pounds in weight alone. That all tells us Jesus' burial was so royal-like, so very special. Jesus' body being laid also in a tomb that had never been used before. Speaks of something that's clean and holy, as it were. And with a large heavy stone rolled in front of that tomb, closing the opening, it tells us Jesus' body was protected from animals and from anything that could harm it. It all speaks volumes, doesn't it, of the dignity of Jesus' body and burial. By God's provision. A fifth surprise with Jesus' burial is that it all took place so quickly. So that in less than 3 hours, and before 6 p.m. on Friday, that Friday long ago, when Jesus died, his body was already in the tomb. You know, Middle Eastern funerals are always kind of quick. But this is one of the quickest I've ever read about. Jesus died around 3 o'clock, and by 6 o'clock he was in the tomb. The funeral was all done. Even before 6 o'clock, before the Sabbath day began. This also allowed the fulfillment of Jesus' own prophecy in Matthew 12, verse 40. That just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. His burial would touch 3 days. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In exact fulfillment of God's holy word. There's a sixth surprise yet with Jesus' burial, and that is the women who witnessed it all. Where were the disciples of Jesus? They were not there, but some devoted women followers were. And they had been witnesses of his crucifixion and also of his burial. No wonder these women were also later the first ones to hear the good news of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The point now is, though, that through the woman's witness of Jesus' burial, we have some more further evidence of the truthfulness of all these events. God doesn't leave himself without witnesses in all his gospel. And that's so encouraging also for us. We may be so convinced of the truthfulness of his gospel surprises in and through Jesus Christ, the Lord. There's a seventh gospel surprise. Also with Jesus' burial. And that is how the Jewish leaders suddenly remembered Jesus' words about rising from the dead. And that they then asked Pilate to make sure, to make secure that grave of Jesus, that in no way there would be any rumor coming out that possibly he rose from the dead. They wanted to make sure that the disciples would not be able to come and steal Jesus' body and spread such a rumor. It's surprising how the Jewish leaders would defile their most holy Sabbath day to plan for this special security of the grave, to get Roman soldiers around the grave and to put a seal on the stone over the tomb, just to guarantee protection from any trickery with Jesus' body. And this is all such a gospel surprise, I say, for on the one hand, it proves beyond all doubt that Jesus was dead, because always in history there's been the idea maybe he just didn't really die. Jesus was dead, for sure. But it proves all this extra security, it just proves so much more the greatness and the wonder of Jesus' resurrection from the dead 3 days later. However they might secure the grave, it was all in vain. The Lord God would laugh in the heavens. The Jewish leaders would make it as secure as they could, as they knew how. But nothing they could do would ever stop Jesus from rising from the dead on Easter Sunday, as we hope to celebrate in a couple of days' time. The gospel surprise here is again the way the unbelief and wrath of men prove to further highlight the greatness and the glory and the grace and the power of Jesus Christ as Savior of sinners. That Savior who, no matter what, had power to lay down his life for his sheep and has power to take it up again at the appointed time of God. Surprises, surprises. Gospel surprises. Do you see them with me? In our text. With Jesus' death and Jesus' burial. Doesn't that draw you to him too? To Jesus Christ the Savior. As we think now about him and his ministry to his people today. Think here of the gospel surprises with Jesus' ministry. We with this scripture about Jesus' death and his burial. He's given so much gospel tidings. And Jesus would minister to us through his word. As resurrected, triumphant Savior of sinners, he would minister to us through his word and also by his sacrament this morning. He would so highlight for us the gospel surprises, proclaiming to us and assuring us that his gospel surprises are for real. They're for real. For all sinners who trust him. For those who repent and believe on him. For all who follow after him. At the table of the Lord, Christ Jesus as host would assure us that through his shed blood and through his one-time, all-time sacrifice for sin, as the God-approved, exalted Savior, there is gospel blessing after gospel blessing to be found with him freely for Jesus' sake. With Christ Jesus, you can find sin-removing, soul-refreshing, saving, sanctifying, splendid, superabundant, soothing, satisfying gospel surprises that are so enriching and blessed for body and soul, in life and death, for now and forever. Jesus Christ is the one most wonderful, gracious, glorious, living Savior of sinners, full of gospel surprises for all who come to him. And as often as you come to him, you either follow after Satan, who's only full of grim terrors for us, or you follow after Jesus Christ, full of gospel surprises for us. Who are you following after? Who are you living for and serving? The Lord's Supper is for those who follow after Jesus and who confess him as their only Savior and Lord and who only want always to be found in fellowship with him and in service of him, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper feast by itself, you know, it also foretells to us that there are many more gospel surprises to come for God's people. Yes, way more than any one of us can ever imagine. Through Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith in him, you escape the grim terrors of sin and Satan, and you become heir of gospel surprises unending. Jesus experienced in his life, especially also with his death on the cross, the grim and grievous terrors of hell and death, that his people, all who trust and follow him, might know and enjoy the gospel surprises and treasures now from him. Yes, in this life, and forevermore. Will you come to the Holy Supper in reliance upon and remembrance of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior? Oh, come and testify and celebrate with me the gospel surprises in and through Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Those gospel surprises for undeserving sinners like us, for Jesus' sake alone. Indeed, they are the greatest and the best of surprises there ever could be. And to think, congregation, there's so much more to come. Endlessly, gloriously so. Oh, just you wait and see. Amen.